Welcome to the Dits and Chips podcast, where Emma O'Brien and myself talk about all of our wild swimming escapades while we do some research for our Dips and Chips book, an illustrated guide to wild swimming in central England.
Morning, everyone. Emma and I are here together. We've just had a lovely little swim at the Allen Higgs, and we're going to introduce you to our new Dips and Chips book project. So Emma, introduce yourself. Tell us a bit about who you are, what you do in your spare time.
So I'm Emma O'Brien. I am an illustrator. I describe myself as a maker of monsters and an illustrator. I made monsters first before I drew things. And that came from when I was doing my master's in visual communication, and I was using fabric quite a lot to create big sculptures. Because I was a textile artist to begin with, and I started creating characters rather than abstract sculptures because my children were very little and they liked it if I put faces on my sculptures. So this is how monsters came about, which is why on social media and things like that I'm referred to as Emma Monster, in case you wondered.
So tell us about the monsters. What are they?
So the monsters are plushies, soft toys that have big crazy eyes and big teethy mouths, bendy legs and stripy arms, and they're quite furry and they have names and personalities. Like, I don't know, some of them pick their nose and eat it, some of them eat worms, some of them fart lots, that kind of thing. Just gross things that kids like, really. And I started drawing them, and then I started drawing other things, and then I kind of found my style with drawing a few years ago, and then people started commissioning me to do drawings, so that became more of a full-time thing, really. So I now do mainly illustration. I still make monsters because they're part of what I am, but then I also teach art in school to Key Stage 2 and 3. Sometimes do secondary school workshops as well as one-offs, but I do regular primary school art lessons as well, teaching everything really in art, and run arts awards as well.
Cool. So tell us what you do in your spare time.
I go swimming in my spare time.
What sort of swimming? Where do you swim?
Well, I swim in the Allen Higgs. I also swim outside. Any bit of water, really. I mean, we've got a joke, haven't we? Muddy Puddle, that's where you're swimming. Whatever's wet. Where, if I can get in, if it's big enough for us to get in and do a few strokes, we're in there, aren't we? Cold, warm, whatever. Salty, fresh water.
Cool.
Anything.
And so you like doing so short dips in winter, but you've also done some bigger swim challenges.
Yeah.
Tell us a bit about the events that you've done.
So I've, it was a couple of years ago, I did the Swoosh for the Outdoor Swimming Society. That was that 3 years ago? I did that on my own. That was a 6K with tidal assisted. So felt good. Did it in about an hour and 50, I think. It was quite challenging, but I quite enjoyed it. So I signed up the next year to do that and the other two events that they were in, which was the Dart 10K and the Hurly Burly. So last year I did the Swoosh again, 15 minutes faster than the first year, and much more relaxed because I knew what was coming and I totally enjoyed it. And then I did the Dart. That was
a 10K.
Real big challenge for me. Yeah, we've talked about that, haven't
yeah,
we?
Yeah. And you can listen to the podcast where you talk about cool.
That was fantastic. Really pleased that I did that. Yeah. And then the Hurly Burly was cancelled. That was another 10K.
And then what did you try and do this year?
Tried to do all three of those again. They were all cancelled because of COVID. And we tried to swim the channel.
We tried to swim the channel, yeah. So listen to the other podcast to get the full lowdown on what happened on our channel relay. So you do all of this swimming, and then you also draw a lot of your swims, don't you?
Yep.
And you do a drawing every day and a draw. So tell us a bit about all of that.
So draw every day was a challenge that an illustrator friend of mine told me about, where you just, it's like a visual diary, basically. I draw whatever's happened in the day in a tiny little Moleskine book, which is, they started off being really small. It's a bit bigger this year. It's kind of A6 or, I think A6. And yeah, if something fun's happening there, it's someone's birthday, I draw that, or they generally revolve around swimming because that's what I'm about, really. And sometimes it might be just some song lyrics if I can't think of anything else to draw. But I did do a challenge last year for myself, which was drawing every single outdoor swim. And I'm glad I did it last year and not this year, because of COVID, we've not done as many.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was good. That I drew every single swim I did outside, and wrote a little bit of information. It started off just being quite brief with where the swim was, what the temperature was, and who I was with. And then I got a little bit more involved with what I was writing to try and describe it a little bit more. So kind of illustrating, yeah, those ones. I think I've got 95 pages. Wow. Of it, but there's more swims because I've done a couple on one page at certain parts.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, so lots of swimming. Okay, so yeah, so you've been drawing your swims, and then we get on to dips and chips.
Yeah.
So tell us about where the idea was born from, the story of that.
So there, it's come from two different places. So this is why it definitely had to happen. And the first was as part of my swim stories for the swimming year last year, towards the end of the year at New Year's Eve in Wales, we went to the Blue Lagoon up in Fairbourne. Is it Fair? No, not Fairbourne, sorry. It's up on the Pembrokeshire coast. A beautiful flooded quarry that was deliberately flooded, so the sea comes into it. And it's weird when you're in there, because it's obviously salty because the sea's in it, but it's still got spring water going in there. So it's the colour, because it's a slate quarry, it's the most beautiful turquoise colour. And I've kind of seen pictures of it. I've wanted to go there for such a long time. And we swam there New Year's Eve. And then, you know, you've been swimming, you're a bit hungry, aren't you? You're in the middle of nowhere. What can we have to eat? And I think quite a lot about food. I enjoy it. So I had a little look, and a mile down the coastal path was a nice little pub, and we had some chips and mushy peas and a pint. And I thought, it'd be quite nice to be able to show people where they could swim and then where they could get a nice bag of chips afterwards. So that kind of tied in with the idea that I'd had previously, when a friend had suggested to me that I could illustrate how to get to certain swimming spots. She'd read a book where someone had illustrated where to forage for food, and she thought this would be nice for Emma to do involving swimming. So both of those things just obviously smashed together. A big light bulb went off, and I thought, yeah, this has got to be done. Mentioned it to Penny on a COVID Wild Swim Wednesday morning, and Penny just got going with it straight away. Mrs. Motivator.
So I didn't know about Emma's, I knew about all of her drawings, but I didn't know about dips and chips. And then we'd been locked down, we couldn't swim at all because we live in Coventry, which is a bit landlocked, and the nearest swim spot outdoors, obviously no swimming pools, but the nearest outdoor swim spot would be which would be free for us to swim in, would be like 35 or 40 minutes drive. So early on, we couldn't, you know, it was too far. The Prime Minister Boris had said, you know, you could, you know, only travel for essential, you know, purposes, wasn't it? So the general view around here was that you shouldn't really be travelling, you know, very far for a swim. So we didn't get to swim at all. Then as soon as he said, you know, you could travel a bit further for exercise, we went straight off for a wild swim, didn't we? And we went every week after that.
Yeah.
It was like a revelation. The first week we went to a couple of places we'd never been before, and it was just so amazing to get out of the city, to get in the water, to see each other, to have a bit of fun. It felt a little bit risque or something weird, you know, because we'd been locked down for so long. And then we just discovered all of these new amazing places to swim that we hadn't been to, and just really appreciated it a lot more than maybe we had before lockdown. So then I decided that I needed to swim in a different place every week in lockdown. And we've done pretty good after that. There was a couple of weeks in August where maybe, you know, we got busy and didn't do things. But we have pretty much swam somewhere different, you know, most weeks. And, you know, you just thought, just started talking to Emma about it, you know, how we should write a swim guide, and you know, our two interests joined together. So other things about dips and chips are that we have been using other people's guidebooks, haven't we?
Yeah.
How have we found using those?
I think it's kind of affirmed in a way that we need something that's maybe a little more user-friendly. We've found it quite difficult to find some of the spots from some of the guides when there's not so much information. And also the landscape may have changed since they were written. So an access has changed in a lot of them, hasn't it, which we've found. So we've tried to be a little bit more detailed, I think you could say. And visual for me anyway. I mean, I'm a visual learner. I'm a visual person. I much prefer to look at a picture of something to figure out where it is, because then it looks familiar to you, doesn't it, than a written instruction, which is what we're trying to do with that. So, yeah, we've used those guides to find places. We've also found additional places, haven't we, when using the guides, and then also been able to see, no, that's not a nice place to swim, or that some places kind of are even nicer, I think, than are described in the book.
Yeah, for sure. So we want our book to be have a lot more information in it, so that it inspires people to swim, and it makes it easy for people to swim. You know, we're lucky that there's a few of us together. So in our little group, we find the confidence and between us to find a spot, and, you know, you figure out the instructions and the map and the location, you have the courage to get in. But definitely, for sure, I'd never have had the courage to do that on my own, especially if the instructions, the information, you know, isn't very difficult. So we really want the book to make it easier for people to experience wild swimming. You know, people like us who maybe live in a city, don't, you know, aren't very outdoorsy, don't have access to swimming. And yeah, we want to share our experiences, but also inspire people to go for a swim, don't we? So we want to make it fun, interesting, but easy and accessible to find. So go on, Emma, tell us a bit about our swim days. What sort of things have we been doing? What sort of problems have we come across?
Well, like we said, access issues we've come across, haven't we? Not been able to find places. I've been dragging you through wilderness bushes, trying to find shortcuts that probably aren't the best, but then that helps us, doesn't it? Because then we think, well, actually, we should probably walk this way around to it. So,
We've been to some swim spots that look amazing and the river looks amazing, but you just can't get in. You know, the banks are too steep, too many stinging nettles. You know, you can't get in, you can't get out, or there's a fence all the way along.
Yeah, that was the case with a lot, wasn't it? And then also some of the places, the Windrush, it's a bit shallow.
Yeah, so you couldn't really swim in a lot of those spots. So, you know, there's lots of places we visited that aren't really good to swim in, and so they're not going to be in the book. And I think we've decided that we're probably only going to put stuff in the book where you're allowed to swim. So if it's private land, or the farmers closed the field, or it's a reservoir owned by Severn Trent or something like that, then we're probably not going to put it in the book. We're only going to share
Things that aren't going to make people anxious or
cause conflicts with the landowner or you know, things like that. So we started off just going every morning before work to local spots that we could get to in before work. And then we've ran out of those. So we've started to have to go a little bit further, haven't we? So we're sort of going on day trips so we can get several swims done in a day. And I mean, the book's only about central England, so the areas that we're familiar with. So we're sort of going 60 to 90 minutes from Coventry. So we've been to the River Nen, we've been to the Thames, sort of southwest Cotswolds. That's what we did last week. Where else have we got coming up?
We had a little dip in the Isis, didn't we? And coming up, we've got...
So you know what I've discovered? Yeah. Here's an interesting fact for you that I've discovered. So when you're looking at a lot of the maps, it says the River Isis. And so I thought that was a different river. On the OS maps, it says the River Isis. Yep. And then I'm looking at the river yesterday where we went in the Cotswolds. And now I knew for definite that was the Thames. And I was just checking my facts and looking at the map and doing my research. And on one of the maps, it says the River Isis. And I'm like, yeah, but on that map, it says the River Thames. So I've Googled it. And what I've discovered is, I need to do a little bit more reading. What I've discovered is the River Isis is another name for the River Thames.
Oh.
There we go.
So it was the Thames that
it
we
was
were
the Thames in Oxford that we went in.
That's really interesting, isn't it? So maybe an old name for it, or how it's... Yeah. Like when we went into the Nen, but really we were in Harper Brook because it wasn't quite the Nen yet. That's quite interesting.
I don't know.
Avon. I mean, the Avon, the River Avon is river, isn't it? Because Avon is the name for river. and that there are, I think, 15 River Avons in the UK. I found that out a couple of years ago. But we're going to, I think, the Severn this week, this coming next week.
Yeah.
We need to see the Wye.
Yeah.
We've been sent some suggestions. Lee sent us some nice suggestions, didn't he, that I'm quite interested to look at. And, oh no, last week we did the, not last week, a few weeks ago we did the Trent, didn't we?
Yeah. But I think we've still got more spots to do on the Trent.
Yeah.
So, yeah, definitely send over any suggestions. I mean, there's still loads to do. You know, there's the Nen, there's more spots in sort of Northamptonshire. There's also spots in Leicestershire that we haven't been to. So if anyone's got...
Oh, and the Tame. Sorry, we did the Tame.
Oh, yeah. So anyone's got any favourite local swim spots, then send them over. Let us know. Yeah, cool. So anything else you want to say about the book?
That hopefully it will be ready by the new year.
So we're hoping to launch it in time for next season, aren't we?
Yeah. But, you know, people keep an eye out, follow us, we'll put sneaky tidbits and little previews for people to have a look at to get them excited about it, hopefully, and join us on our journey.
So it's called Dips and Chips. You can find us on Facebook. We've got a Facebook page called Dips and Chips, and we'll post the link to the blog and the podcast on the Facebook page.
That's it, folks. Thanks very much for joining us. Hope we've inspired you to go for a wild dip somewhere. Don't forget to share your favourite swim spots with us, and hopefully you'll join us on our next episode.